I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's April 20th, and we have a lot to talk about. Physical therapy can improve your gait, your balance, and your coordination. It can help you maintain your mobility, your independence, and your quality of life. And when you think of getting physical therapy, you probably imagine visiting a rehab center or a gym, but imagine going to a local park for physical therapy. Even during the winter, when your physical therapy session is going to include snowshoeing. Sally McAllister is living with primary progressive MS, and what you've just imagined is a real-world description of Sally's physical therapy sessions with Dr. Carol Ann Nelson at Destination Rehab in Bend, Oregon. Their work has resulted in a measurable improvement in Sally's mobility and her confidence. Both Sally and Dr. Nelson are my guests today as we talk about how choosing rehab in the real world became a life-changing choice for Sally. But before we get to my conversation with Sally McAllister and Carol Ann Nelson, there are a few other things that you should know about. If you're like me, you're more than ready to reconnect with the world. But that won't happen until most everyone receives a COVID-19 vaccination. It looks like we're on the right track in the U.S., where almost 25% of the population has been fully vaccinated, and just over a third of the population has received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And while these numbers are encouraging, there's still hard work ahead in getting more shots in arms. If you're living with MS and you're still waiting to see the evidence about whether a COVID-19 vaccination can cause an MS relapse or other adverse reaction, well, that evidence is starting to appear. An Israeli research team has published the results of a study that looked at the effects of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine in people living with MS. The study was conducted between December 20th, 2020, and January 25th, 2021. And in that approximately one-month period, 555 people living with MS received their first dose of the Pfizer vaccine, and 435 people living with MS received their second dose of the vaccine. The researchers noted side effects, including pain at the injection site, fatigue, and headache. These are the same side effects that most people who don't have MS also experience. And at 3 weeks and 5 weeks following the first and second dose of the vaccine, there was no increase in MS relapse activity when this group was compared to people living with MS who hadn't yet been vaccinated. The people who were most likely to experience the typical vaccination side effects were between the ages of 18 and 55. They had lower EDSS scores, scores of 3.0 or less, and those people with MS who were being treated with immunomodulatory drugs. The study concludes that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is safe for people living with MS with no increased risk of relapse activity. So if you've been waiting to see some evidence, here it is, and there's surely more to follow. So after reviewing the evidence and the recommendation from the expert task force convened by the National MS Society, I hope you'll pause the podcast right here and make your vaccination appointment. Because until you do, life on hold continues. If you'd like to review the details of this study or the recommendation from the MS Society's Vaccine Guidance Task Force, you'll find those links in today's show notes. Ocrevus and rituximab are so-called anti-CD20 therapies that are used to treat MS. The goal of this type of treatment, also called B-cell depletion therapy, is to destroy B-cells in the blood. These B-cells play a role in the abnormal autoimmune response in people living with MS. That autoimmune response is what causes demyelination. And the theory is that fewer B cells mean less damage to the central nervous system. It's also been observed that black people tend to have a more severe course of MS. And a research team at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine in New York wanted to see how quickly B cells came back in black people and white people after receiving B cell depleting treatment. Their study involved 134 people with MS and 32 people with neuromyelitis optica spectrum disorder. 61 people in the group identified as black and 60 people in the group identified as white. Everyone in the group received a rituximab or Ocrevus infusion, and 4 to 6 months after their infusion, there was no difference in the level of B cells in the blood of both the black and white study participants. However, when researchers looked at B cell levels between 6 and 12 months after their infusion, 76% of the black study participants had detectable levels of B cells, while only 33% of the white study participants had detectable levels of B cells. Now, there are two things that we should note about this study. First, the overall size of the group was small. And second, the research team analyzed the results of blood samples taken at different times after infusion rather than taking all the blood samples at the same specified times for everyone in the study. So there's more work to be done here, including research to determine whether the faster return of B cells in black people means that they experience more disease activity. This initial finding is worth noting, if for no other reason than to underscore the absolute need for ensuring greater diversity in clinical trials. Having better minority representation in clinical trials means that doctors will know from the outset whether a particular drug or a particular dose of a drug is going to work for their patients who may be members of minority communities. In other words, ensuring diversity in clinical trials helps ensure the effectiveness of medications when they're prescribed. The NYU research team is presenting this study at the annual meeting of the American Academy of Neurology, which began this past Saturday and takes place throughout this week. So we'll keep you posted on this and all of the news coming out of this conference as it occurs. This past week, the National MS Society and the American Academy of Neurology announced that this year's recipient of the John Distel Prize for Multiple Sclerosis Research is Professor Vijay Kutru, the Samuel Wasserstrom Professor of Neurology at Harvard Medical School. Professor Kutru's groundbreaking research has focused on the immune responses that damage the myelin sheath in MS. And in just one discovery, Professor Kutru's team has shown how specific myelin proteins are targeted by the immune system, and they were able to demonstrate that a specific protein called myelin oligodendrocyte glycoprotein triggers inflammation in the optic nerve, which is a very common first symptom in people diagnosed with MS. Dr. Kutru's innovative research has identified pathways to better treatments and ultimately a cure for MS. And it's worth noting that Dr. Kutru's illustrious career began when he received a pilot grant from the National MS Society. Dr. Kutru received the award and delivered the Distel Prize lecture this past Saturday at the American Academy of Neurology annual meeting. I believe that knowledge is power, especially when you and your neurologist are making decisions about your MS treatment plan. And if you'd like to be updated on topics ranging from novel technologies to identify biomarkers that can predict the course of MS, to depression and anxiety disorders in MS, to living well with MS, then you may want to register to attend the MS Society of Canada's MS Connect virtual conference taking place April 28th and 29th. You'll hear from experts and have opportunities to engage with other attendees living with MS. And there's no charge to attend. If you'd like to review the conference schedule, get more information, or register, You'll find a link in today's show notes. When many people living with MS think about living well, they think about maintaining their mobility and preserving their quality of life. My guests, Sally McAllister and her physical therapist, Dr. Carol Ann Nelson, work together to produce a measurable improvement in Sally's mobility and quality of life. In a moment, we'll meet my guests, Sally McAllister and Dr. Carol Ann Nelson. Physical therapist Carol Ann Nelson is the founder and director of Destination Rehab in Bend, Oregon. Their website says that Destination Rehab takes an innovative, out-of-the-box approach to physical therapy. And as we get into today's conversation, I think you're going to agree with that statement. Destination Rehab works specifically with adults who have been diagnosed with complex neurologic conditions, including spinal cord injury, stroke, Parkinson's, brain injury, cerebral palsy, and multiple sclerosis. Welcome to the podcast, Carol Ann.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
And I also want to welcome Sally McAllister. Sally is an avid hiker who's living with progressive MS, and Sally's been working with Carol Ann at Destination Rehab. Welcome to the podcast, Sally.
Thank you. I am glad to be here also.
Carol Ann, when I introduced you just now, I mentioned that Destination Rehab, the website, describes what you do as an out-of-the-box approach to physical therapy. Maybe you can tell me about that, where the concept for Destination Rehab came from, and what kinds of services do you offer?
So when I was first practicing in a neurologic clinic, we had access to a lot of different kinds of equipment and great resources, amazing therapists. Our patients worked really hard. And one of the things I noticed that surprised me is I would have patients come in and they had been working incredibly hard in therapy and had been making really great gains by all of our measurements. And they would come in and say, well, the only time I leave my house is to go to a doctor's appointment or come in to see you for therapy. And it surprised me because I thought, well, wait a second, then what are you working so hard to do? Why are you working so hard to come in for rehab? And I realized that here we are, we're trying to equip people to engage in life again after a diagnosis, living with a progressive condition. And we're throwing all this time and energy at them, and they're investing so much work and so much time, and they're working so hard. And yet we weren't really making the kind of changes in their life and their quality of life that I would have expected. And so I realized that physical therapists need to be present in the more complex situations, in the more challenging situations that people will encounter in everyday life. Going outside, trying to go get back into biking or get back into hiking or walking or playing pickleball or kayaking, all of the activities that make life fun and enjoyable, that's where we need to be helping transition and make that final step for people back into either discovering new activities that they didn't realize they could do or adjusting and adapting activities that they used to do that they really want to get back to. And so I started Destination Rehab as a way to address that gap in services that I felt like we needed to, and physical therapists are really equipped to be there in those situations with people, helping with how do you get on and off a kayak? How do you set up a recumbent trike so that it's adjusted perfectly for you and you can do exercise training to go around your neighborhood or to play with the grandkids out in the yard? And so those were, it just seemed like a bigger barrier and a bigger gap that people weren't able to achieve just coming into a controlled clinic setting.
Sally, before we get to your experience with Carol Ann, can you share some of the circumstances surrounding your MS diagnosis?
Well, I will be glad to. And thank you for describing me as an avid hiker. So I was an avid hiker. And about 10 years ago, I was doing a lot of long distance walks. And I was in charge of a hiking group. I was in San Diego County at the time. And we would just have marvelous times exploring all of that topography. And I started to notice that I wasn't able to go quite as far as I used to, from maybe 15 miles of a power walk down to 10 and then down to 8. And what was happening is my body, my overall body was getting tired and my leg was aching. And I'll be 71 in a few weeks. And when I was 60, I was on a hike with my group. I'll never forget it. We were probably 3 miles into it and I couldn't lift my foot. And it was embarrassing and it was scary. So with rest of a few minutes, then we would, you know, trek on and the same thing would happen. I could not lift my foot. So that was my first clue that was something was wrong. And I'd always been athletic. I'd always recovered from any athletic injuries, strains, pulls, whatever, with time. And I just figured, well, this will go away. And it didn't. And I noticed with exertion, my leg would get very tired. I started noticing that I was very fatigued. And so it was time to talk to a doctor. And the journey began of getting diagnosed. And it took 5 years, which was about 1 year too long for diagnosis. But it was a process, as I'm sure many people have gone through also. And I did end up being diagnosed with primary progressive MS. And at the moment of the, you know, diagnosis, I was relieved. I was glad to know finally, you know, what was wrong with me. Then I realized, okay, now I need to find out what I'm tackling. And that's when denial sets in and reality sets in. And that's true. I still love to hike. I still do love to hike. And I think we'll get to the point where I can tell you about how I hike now. And it's all attributed to Carol Ann.
No, that's not true. It's your hard work. That's what got you there.
You cracked the whip, lady.
I hate to see my guests fighting like this, but we will unravel who is responsible for all this in a moment. I think, Sally, I'll have to say it's rare that someone is diagnosed with MS at the age you were diagnosed. I'm curious, are you currently on an MS disease modifying therapy?
I am. I'm on Ocrevus.
Okay.
And I think it's working. You know, the goal of Ocrevus is to slow down the progression.
Right.
And I really haven't seen much change, negative change, for a good year or more. So I like to think it's working. And I think the mental acceptance of that is just as important as the clinical.
When I introduced you, and actually in some of what you just had to say, I think we have both established the fact that you are an avid hiker and you're living with progressive MS. And yeah, as I'm sure you know, those words don't often go together in the same sentence, right? So how did you find yourself at Destination Rehab? And what's been your experience since you started working with Carol Ann and the staff there?
Well, to go back step about a year and a half ago, my husband retired and I had recently retired and we were ready to move from Southern California and we had picked Bend, Oregon, primarily because of the outdoor opportunities here and primarily for my husband, who was going to need something to do in his retirement and that would have to be fishing. I was just looking forward to a change of environment. I knew it was a place where my kids would want to come and visit us. And I just figured, well, you know, I've never been in cold weather other than to go skiing recreationally. And I thought, I just pictured myself sitting by the fireplace, reading a book, maybe having a kitty cat in my lap and words with friends. I was trying to accept the change and make it positive. So I met my new neurologist in Bend and I absolutely love her. And she wanted to know about me, what were my interests, what was my past. And she said, well, I think you need to meet Destination Rehab. And I said, well, what's that? She said, well, it's physical therapy, but it's all outdoors. And I said, well, just in the summertime? She said, no, it's all outdoors. And so that piqued my curiosity because here I'm a Southern California beach person and I'm going to be outside in the snow. So I accepted the challenge and I met Carol Ann and the journey began. I had done physical therapy, as all of us who have done physical therapy probably agree. It's can be very boring. It's very repetitious. It's difficult. And you're always glad when it's over. So Carol Ann assured me that this was different. We'd be outdoors, we'd be in the snow. It was all a matter of layering clothing, and so on we went. And yes, indeed, she's had me out snowshoeing. We've been hiking in the snow. We go bike riding. In the summertime, we go kayaking. And it's not just for fun. It's a planned workout. The activities are measured. You know, Carol Ann, Dr. Carol Ann certainly knows what she's doing. And so hiking became redefined for me. For those of us that are experiencing a progressive disease, we're fighting against the direction it goes. So I found I had to redefine what the great outdoors meant for me. So right now I'm walking about 3,000 steps outdoors with my hiking sticks, and that's a good hike for me. If we want to go further, we've worked on skills of how many steps do I take? How long do I rest? How many steps do I take? How long do I rest? And it's where are you going to plant your foot? Where are you going to have your weight? So Carol Ann's gotten me outdoors. I'm grateful for, you know, every step forward and for what I can do. And I feel I can do it all. It's not like I used to do it, but it's how I do it now.
Can I just jump in real quick and give a little insight into the physical therapy perspective on that?
You bet.
So I'm always working on the challenge of balancing fun and still adhering to the rehab principles that we know through the literature work. And even though it might look to an outside observer like we're hiking, we're kayaking, we're doing all this fun activity, and you might think, well, how is that any different than just doing the activity? We actually do a lot of very specific MS-based interventions. For example, a lot of intervals where we talk about fatigue and fatigability. And basically what that means is your perception, how you feel. Do you feel fatigued, or is your body demonstrating to you that you're fatigued by scuffing a little bit more when you're walking, or by slapping your foot, or by changing the way that you're walking because your body is now tired? Sometimes those go hand in hand. You feel tired and your body demonstrates it's tired. Sometimes those don't go hand in hand. And so it's really important, an important part of education when working with someone, to talk through those concepts and help them be able to identify and look at their own body for cues of starting to get the fatigability, which is the body saying it's tired, and to help teach folks with MS, because fatigue is a real issue, to stop and take mini rest breaks before getting to that really fatigued spot so that they can keep going longer as a whole activity instead of getting shortcut or even doing an activity and burning themselves out so that the next day is really affected poorly. Yeah. We've also done a few other things like used functional electrical stim. I use that quite a bit in my practice, whether it's Bioness or using little stim pads, like a little portable unit that we use. We also have worked with her AFO, her leg brace, and tried different leg braces for walking. And so really, it's a matter for me of bringing in all of the physical therapy concepts and some of the same treatment type modalities I would use in a regular clinic, but taking it into a more fun and dynamic setting so that everyone's having a better time. And the people I'm working with are so much more engaged and so much more willing to work hard for me because it's really fun.
Sally, quick question for you. You mentioned that you're walking about 3,000 steps and that is a good hike for you today. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, at the time you started working with Carol Ann, did you do any baseline measures? Do you know how many steps you were able to take at that point?
Well, I wasn't able to take any step without confidence at that point. I was using a cane. Of course, we moved here in the summertime, so I was dealing with the dry heat. I don't know how many steps I was taking. I certainly wasn't taking that many. For me, to go to the supermarket and home was an accomplishment. I would always use a cane, and I would, depending on how tired I was, I'd either use the shopping or the cart there, the motorized cart, or I would just use the regular shopping cart. So I wasn't deliberately out taking long walks. I don't use a cane when I go into the market any longer. I have a lot more confidence without it. I don't know if that answers your question, but I really wasn't measuring my steps at that point because I knew I'd be disappointed in what I saw.
You actually more than answered my question. What I was wondering, and you've adequately described it in a number of different ways, is whether you feel you've actually improved. And it sounds like you certainly have improved.
I have improved, and Carol Ann has the measurements on paper to prove that.
Well, Carol Ann, people living with progressive MS don't typically find themselves experiencing lots of improvement. Very often, they consider it a win if they see their disease progression stop or even slow down. So I'm pretty certain the question on the minds of a lot of my listeners is, how did this happen?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And we've had discussions about when we're doing testing. Sally and I have had discussions about the fact that, hey, if we're seeing the same numbers, that's a win. That's good. We're happy with that. You know, keep trekking along. But in her case, when we first started working together, I actually graphed it out in kind of a pretty little chart for her to take to her neurologist just because it was so exciting to see the huge improvements. And I think in Sally's case, a lot of it was that she had stopped doing a lot of activities. And so there was an element of deconditioning where her body was not used to exercising. So there was a certain amount of that that I got to take advantage of and say, okay, let's get your exercise tolerance increased and tweak some with your brace, like I mentioned, and with some other things. And let's work on the pattern of walking so it's not as taxing. If you're not walking well and with good mechanics, then it's very tiring for your body. And so as a physical therapist, if I can get somebody walking with a more efficient pattern, they can walk longer, even just because it's not as hard on their body. And so working on a few of those things and also just getting her exercise tolerance increased slowly, gradually, I think that is what made some of the biggest difference.
As I'm sure you're more than well aware of, there are some people, actually, there are a lot of people who feel that they're adequately treating their MS by staying on their disease-modifying therapy, even though evidence shows that lifestyle choices, like participating in physical activity, can make a real measurable difference in their overall quality of life. What's your message to these folks?
Okay, my message is physical exercise gives you as much mental health as it does physical health. And I think when you're dealing with a chronic disease, such as progressive MS, any type of MS, you're prone to depression. We all know that. Nothing helps the mind better than physical exercise outdoors, be it for 5 minutes, be it for 30 minutes. So it's made, I've known from my past experience being outdoors so much how important it was. A lot of people haven't experienced that, but I'd sure like to see them try it.
Carol Ann, would you like to answer the same question?
I love what Sally said, and I would also add to that that people with MS are regular people. Regular people benefit from exercise, benefit from being active. There are tons of benefits for your heart, like Sally said, for your mood, for your confidence, for your ability to tolerate more activity throughout the day. And so it's just one more tool in the toolbox. And why not have as many tools? Why not give yourself as much opportunity as possible to live a full life and do the activities you really want to do?
I see that you established Destination Rehab as a 501c3 nonprofit. What made you decide to take that path?
It was a challenging decision because there are so many different clinic models out there. But really what it came down to for me was I wanted to be able to reach out to and work with people regardless of their situation, their insurance, their socioeconomic status. And so by incorporating as a 501c3, I have the opportunity to do pro bono and scholarship-based programs. And it just gives me a wider range of resources to draw from. So I can get volunteers helping a lot of my patients and a lot of my participants in the programs we do help out, donate. We can get donations and grants from foundations who want to support the work that we're doing. So it really allows me to not only create a community around support for people with MS and other neurologic conditions, but it also gives me a lot of flexibility in terms of being able to say, yes, we have a scholarship fund for you. We can assist you with this. And just make it a lot more open to a wide range of people, for really anyone who wants to participate. And we have programs for people here locally. We also have programs where folks can travel here to Bend and do an intensive with us and do an outdoor retreat. So we're open to having anyone come and really want to make it accessible.
And how can people learn more about Destination Rehab?
Pretty much everything is on our website. We also have social media channels, so we'll push out information and fun photos there. But destinationrehab.org is the best way to get a hold of us. And there are lots of ways to sign up or email us from there.
And we will make sure to include that link in today's show notes to make it very easy for people listening to visit your website. Dr. Carol Ann Nelson, thank you for all that you're doing to improve the quality of life for people living with MS. And Sally McAllister, I think your story is going to motivate some of our listeners to find ways to get back outdoors and get active. Thank you both for talking with me today.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thanks.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/190. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. And now I have a favor to ask. It would mean a lot to me if you would leave a rating and review for Real Talk MS. Just point your web browser at realtalkms.com/review, and you'll see links to the different online destinations that you can choose from to leave that rating and review. And those links will be different for each of you because they're based upon the software that you happen to be using to listen to podcasts, or at least that you have installed on your phone, tablet, or desktop computer. For instance, if you happen to be using an Android phone to listen to Real Talk MS, you won't see a link to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts because you can't leave a review on Apple Podcasts with an Android phone. I hope that makes sense. It's just a little bit of technology that makes leaving a rating and review super easy. So if you're able, I hope you'll take a moment to leave a rating and review for Real Talk MS. And you'll find a link to do that in today's show notes. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.